broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 4th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org, doing a phenomenal job. We talked about last Saturday's Utah Republican Party organizing convention. We talked about how Mitt Romney got booed off the stage. Not totally off the stage. I guess the Republican leader got up and stood beside Mitt and saved his bacon and got the crowd to calm down a tidbit, shamed them, said shame on you for being, well, the sad part is they don't have any way to express their frustrations these days. The problem is Mitt Romney's voting record, it's out of control. It's liberal. It's extreme. According to the John Birch Society reports, Mike Lee is well into the 90s. Really, really, really dismal for Mitt Romney. And so people just are not happy. He circumvented the caucus system in America to get on the ballot in the first place. You know what? Nobody wants him there. But he's there because the election system in America is broken. Broken for a lot of reasons. Fraud being one of them. Manipulation of the system and changing the game and changing the laws and the rules and moving us more and more and more towards a democracy is certainly one of them as well. We talked about the 12 myths fueling government overreach in times of crisis. Robert Higgs wrote that article, and it relates directly to the point at hand. Second hour, we had on Dr. Scott Bradley, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to preserve the nation. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Check out his award-winning collegiate series, books and videos and a whole lot more. Also, check out his weekly webinars with Q&A on the Constitution and more. freedomsrisingsun.com. With him, we talked about Mitt Romney being booed at the speech at the GOP convention in more detail. We talked about, did you know that the recall power was considered and rejected during the Constitutional Convention by the Founding Fathers? They believed it didn't work. It moved us too much towards a democracy. The 17th Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, states that the Constitution established the direct election of U.S. senators in each state. The amendment supersedes, they say, Article 1, Section 3, Clauses 1 and 2 of the Constitution, under which senators were elected by state legislative bodies. Also, it changed the way vacancies would be fulfilled. Originally, the Constitution required state legislatures to fulfill Senate vacancies. Now they've turned that all into democracy style, folks. It's disaster. We talked about that being related. President Biden jettisoning science, to say the least, wearing a mask despite being vaccinated. He calls it a patriotic responsibility, for God's sakes. Wow. Science be darned, right? Wow. I guess they lied to us again. They first said only a 10-day lockdown, huh? 14-day lockdown at the most. Then they said, well, you got to have masks. Then they said, well, you got to have vaccines if you want to get rid of the mask. Now they said, psych, you got to have vaccines and you can't get rid of the mask. They've lied. I guess on another topic, but just as sad, we talked about the more we move towards a democracy, the more we lose our morality in America, too. Promoting of democracies and promoting immorality go hand in hand. And Manhattan District Attorney, a guy by the name of Cy Vance Jr., announced on Wednesday that the city will no longer prosecute prostitution and unlicensed massage. That's according to a press release from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. So immorality just all over the place in America, folks. And that's the reason that we're suffering such great trouble, such great trials in the most wonderful country on the face of the earth. It's a tragic reality check, but there you have it. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's two-hour broadcast, still available at LibertyRoundTable.com and LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Donate liberally, would you please? News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me for a discussion of all things liberty. LocalHoneyMan.com. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. I have a story straight out of Kurt Crosby's playbook. You ready, Kurt?
Yes,
you're going to love this story. All right, here's the headline. Man, 79 years old, goes to school to help wife curl her hair. Have you seen this story, Kurt?
No, I haven't.
All right, it's a phenomenal one. You got to look it up. The details are very cool. I'll get into them now. A Canadian man, he's been married to his wife for 50 years, okay? And the problem is she needed a little help when her eyesight started to fail. So, question for y'all, what do you do when your love, your partner, your wife, your husband, your spouse is struggling? What do you do when she's struggling with something that she's always been good at? Answer, a 79-year-old man in Alberta, Canada, went looking for help with just that question on his mind. His wife of 50 years could no longer see well enough to curl her own hair without burning herself. So, this dude just marched right into a beauty school to find out how to do it for her. Employees at Delmar College of Hair and Aesthetics in Red Deer hooked him up, buddy, with a student in a mannequin to help. He learned how to wield the curling iron. Then they showed him how to apply her mascara, too. Yeah. Her appearance has always been something that she's taken pride in, and it's important to her, therefore it's important to me, he says. Delmar College of Hair and Aesthetics director, her name is Carrie Hanna over there, she told, everybody about this thing. Here's what the deal is. The man who prefers to remain anonymous. He did a little bragging about his wife also. He pulled out pictures to show how beautiful she is, even boasting her about her impressive 100-word-per-minute typing skills. The school posted photos of him learning the ropes of how to do hair on Facebook. And, of course, the post went viral, as you can expect. It's been shared more than 380,000 times. Thousands of phenomenal comments flowed from the incident as well, like true love, commitment, devotion to the person he loves. God bless him for wanting to help his wife with something that we women find so personal for ourselves and our emotional well-being, one woman wrote. Hannah, that's the lady there hair cutting school. Hannah called the lesson one of the highlights of her career. That's according to Newsweek, by the way. The couple have been back to thank the school several times for their help, but the staff says the gratitude flows both ways. We really needed some cheering up at a time like this, and man, he did it for us, Hannah said. That's the leader of the salon there. Anyway, I told you it was right out of your playbook, Kurt. Phenomenal news.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam, and, I guess the guy's turning 80 this month, and they said he's a very brave man for stepping into a hair college and asking for lessons on styling hair. Wow.
Yeah, man, there's a real man right there, buddy.
I guess they say they don't think too many men would do that.
That's what I'm talking about. He's a real man. He's not afraid of nothing. He's just like, hey, my wife needs help and support. And you know what? I want to give it to her. You know what it reminds me of, Kurt? I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Song for the Season. It's a Christmas show. And I think it's Naomi Judd that's in it and stuff like that. And she plays a school music teacher. And in the movie, there's a man. And this man is like the hatchet man, cutting school budgets and all this kind of stuff, right? And so this man rolls into town to cut all the budgets. Long story short, he gets down to it. He's got to cut the music department. It's a horrible thing. Well, they start to have romantic interest. The man that's the hatchet man, the music teacher, and he has to cut her program, and she's livid with him. Anyway, along the way in that whole discussion, it was kind of interesting. This man's dad was in the military. So whenever he sees people, he's like, hey, up to, you know what? March up here and hug your grandpa and stuff like that. The guy's kind of funny. But anyway, in the story, this girl is dating grandpa because grandpa's first wife passed away or whatever. And so this lady named Marge is dating grandpa. And so she says, you know what? I want to give him this thing. He was in the military. His whole life is about the military. He listens to old time radio. He's just, this is who he is. And I want to bring all of his, you know, military buddies together. And you know, have a party for him. He misses his buddies, and I really like to do this. And so she goes to the son, which is really the guy that's the hatchet man, and says, hey, you know, help me do this. And so anyway, long story short, she gives him this gift. And she's trying to get him to marry her. And she's like, he's like, because military guy, he's like, nah, I don't want to enlist. You know, I don't want to enlist again. I'm too old. Not happening. Anyway, after she gives him this gift of love, of rounding up all of his military buddies and doing this wonderful thing for him, he realizes how important she is and what kind of a gift she's given. All I can say is it's a gift like that, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby on your radio, hard-hitting talk. Man, 79 years old, goes to school to bust out and learn how to help his wife curl her hair. So there you go. An act of love. And it reminds me of that Song of the Season movie, because she really goes to bat to give him a gift that he'd really want. And I think that gift giving, proper gift giving, is certainly a skill, certainly important. But you know what? When it's done with love, there's no comparing. It almost reminds me of the great gift we've received from Jesus Christ if we accept it. That is the gift of salvation. All we got to do is, what, follow him like he's asked us to do? So there you go, Kurt. Just thought, I thought you'd dig that to kick off the show, my friend.
Well, and the other thing is kind of interesting that you'd actually be the guy bringing up a movie that would connect to something we're talking about. So, I mean, typically I'm the one who's, stuck with that part of the play, I guess you'd say. But
that's right.
That's good. Very good.
All right. But I'm not sleeping during the movies, kid. I'm awake.
Good point. I do actually stay awake on some of them,
Well, that's good.
I mean, it may take me a week to get through a movie. I mean, 10 minutes a night or whatever like that,
How does it take you a week to get through a movie while you're
Well, because what happens is
it's like 2 hours long.
Yeah, because I start it at night when I'm tired, and of course I try to get as comfortable as possible, and so I might go just a little while before I pass out, and then the next night I try to start it where I passed out,
Where you think you last remembered, I see.
Yeah, so that's how I get, a movie a week or something.
All right.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
No problem at all, right?
Right.
All right, what do you got in the news, Kurt? What should we focus on today?
Well, I thought this one might be interesting to you. I just saw it from our buddies there at the... Do you say the Epoch, E-P-O-C-H, Times? I keep wondering if I should say Epoch, Epoch?
No, it's Epoch Times, buddy.
Okay, well, anyway.
Epoch
guys,
Times.
Yeah.
You want to know why, Kurt?
Reads, yes.
Because their news is epic.
Okay, good.
Because they do a killer job, that's why.
Yep. So the headline reads, a Chinese man smuggled himself to Taiwan in a rubber dinghy for freedom. Alex Wu, he's got the piece. All I can say is, Wu, this is a good story, it's kind of cool to see. I haven't heard of too many Americans, getting in a dinghy trying to head to Cuba, heading across the border into, Mexico. Maybe they're, what I mean? It's just, you just don't see it, Sam. And so, you just got to ask yourself why that is. If America is such a race baiting, terrible place, according to, Joe Biden and, crew, that you got these people that are, trying to go somewhere where there's more freedom. Even in America, you got that happening when you get people leaving places like New York, California, Oregon, Washington. You know what I mean? The more locked down cities, even like in Utah, you got people leaving the bigger cities and trying to find some bits of freedom out there somewhere, right?
Absolutely.
It just reminds you of that song, Somewhere Out There, anyway.
But it also reminds me of, people will do a lot of stuff for freedom, Kurt.
Yeah, this guy was 33 years old. His surname is Zhou, so you could figure out how to say that. But anyway, he came to Taiwan for freedom. His military-grade rubber dinghy was purchased from China's online shopping website, Taobao, with a motor that he installed. Altogether, it cost him it says 16,000 yuan, about $2,500. He bought 90 liters, almost 24 gallons of fuel for the trip. According to the Chinese language media reports, he crossed the Taiwan Strait undetected by both PLA and Taiwanese Navy maritime patrols and shore patrols. After reaching the Taicheng port for 2 hours, he saw workers passing by and called for help. The workers bought him food and provided him with clothes. After they learned that
let me explain how it works, Kurt. You ready?
Yeah, they had to buy it first.
They first bought it, then they brought it.
And then they brought it. Yeah, good point.
That's right.
Anyway, after they learned that he had sailed across the Taiwan Strait from the mainland, they called the police. From Xinxi, Fujian, it's about 100 nautical miles, so 100 miles he's cruising across in this little dinghy. But what people do to go for freedom, you know what I mean?
And where did he go from and to, Kurt?
Well, he went from communist China.
Yes.
To Taiwan.
Taiwan.
The Republic of
China. So I got a question. Why don't we call Taiwan a separate country? And why don't we, back their freedom play, Kurt?
Well, Sam, you wouldn't want to upset any of those
I would.
Insider.
I mean, I don't want to upset anybody, but I do want to support freedom.
Amen to that. I would too. Yeah. Yeah. They say one person in one boat can successfully cross the strait without being detected. It does not mean that 100 people in 100 boats or 1,000 people in 1,000 boats can also sneak into Taiwan in the same way. I think it could mean that. You know what I mean, Sam? I mean,
well, we would hope it means that, but we would also want to kind of, submit to the communists a little bit of, why do people want to flee if your system is so awesome? Why are people just bailing and taking tremendous risks to get the heck out? I mean, Cuba does the same stuff to the U.S., right? Why are people trying to flee to, different locales and stuff like that? Is it because it's so incredible there? Mm-hmm. Is it because they lack indoctrination classes? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, right.
I don't get it, right?
They're wishing
well, I guess I do
more.
Get it.
Yeah, good point. You do.
But I just don't understand how they fail to understand this. And then they're like, well, don't worry. A bunch of people can't leave. We'll force them to stay. And in my mind, doesn't that just kind of tell the whole story right there? Somebody's fleeing, and they're going to force you to stay. Don't worry. Most people can't do what this guy did. That's a fluke. We'll prevent the rest of them. We're sure of it. And it's like, hey, this is awesome. Embrace our way of life. Not.
That's right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, send me that headline, Kirk, because I think that's, valuable. Sad tale to tell. Bill and Melinda Gates.
Oh, yeah.
Announced divorce after 27 years. This is a sad tale, Kurt. I don't know behind the scenes what's going on there, whatever else, but, I don't see how this is a positive news piece. And I don't bring it up to being negative, but I do bring it up to say, ladies and gentlemen, I get once in a while that there might be some kind of abuse or, something that justifies a divorce. I'm not saying it's never justifiable, but I'm saying 99 times out of 100 people who get divorced, wish they hadn't. Sometimes people even get back together and remarried. I talked to a guy the other day and I was talking to him and he's like, yeah, my ex, we did this and we did that. And I'm like, what do you mean? Why are you doing all this stuff with your ex? Well, because we've been together for 8 years since we divorced. And I said, well, why don't you just get married? We're working on it, he says. And it just kind of goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, that people don't want to be alone. People are always thinking the grass is greener. But what you got to do, and I don't know everything about it. I've only been married my 29th year wedding anniversary is coming up here in a little bit, a couple days. Literally a couple days. But anyways, I say what you got to do is work on your relationship. And if you put as much time into the relationship as you put criticizing and or in efforts to leave the relationship, man, the relationship could be awesome. And so, before Bill and Melinda finalize their divorce, I'd just like to kind of shout out to them. Guys, you know what? I know it's not perfect and I know life's hard and I know a lot of things can get in the way. I get that. It's very easy to not see things, the way they really are. But if you go a little way, if you can I quote another movie, Kurt? Do I dare do that?
Yeah.
Two in one hour? All right, I'm going to ask you this, Kurt. Do you know the answer? What is the movie that gives the guy a bunch of guidance of how to save his marriage?
I think there's a number of those, but I can't. Nothing comes to mind real quick.
Oh, come on. Do you know Cameron? Oh, come on, man. What's wrong with you people?
But Sam, there's $146 billion at stake for Bill and Melinda Gates,
We'll talk about that coming up too. All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think either of them will have money problems. Well, they have plenty of money problems, just not the kind you and I might think of, right? All right, when we get back, I'll tell you the name of the movie too. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Mexico City officials are reporting a subway train derailed in Mexico City Monday night after an overpass partially collapsed, killing at least 20 people and wounding dozens of others, with 38 hospitalized. The structure was built in 2012. Mexico City Mayor Claudia Sheinbaum says it appears a support beam has failed, end quote. President Biden on Monday called on wealthy Americans and corporations to pay their fair share to fund free community college and other benefits as he promoted his sweeping jobs and safety net plan in Virginia. Speaking at Tidewater Community College in the port city of Norfolk, Biden said his proposed expansion of the U.S. public education system would rebalance the economy and benefit lower-income Americans. Melinda and Bill Gates are getting divorced after 27 years of marriage. Reports on Tuesday said the couple did not sign a prenuptial agreement before they got married in 1994. USA Radio News.
Who's really running the country? Joe Biden? The First Lady? Kamala Harris? Maybe Barack Obama? Already, Kamala Harris is the most powerful vice president in history. All this week, Newsmax's Greg Kelly asked the tough questions about Joe Biden and who's really in charge at the White House. Every night this week, Greg Kelly is on Newsmax giving you the news you need to know. So watch Greg Kelly tonight at 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern and see his series, Who's Really in Charge? Newsmax TV is America's fourth highest rated cable news network. Everyone is talking about Newsmax. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable system, tell them you want it. Or get Newsmax free on your smart TV. Or tune into Roku, Amazon Fire, Pluto, Zumo, or YouTube. Or just download the free Newsmax TV app on your smartphone and watch us anytime, anywhere. Millions of Americans are watching Newsmax. So should you.
Looking into the turmoil at the U.S.-Mexico border, Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau.
House Republicans James Comer and Jason Smith are questioning a Biden administration proposal that would send cash payments to Central America as part of a strategy to deal with the causes of the illegal immigration crisis. Both are ranking members of the House Oversight and Budget Committee, and they've expressed concern that sending millions of dollars to countries with rampant corruption isn't a good idea. In the meantime, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton tells Fox News the border crisis is not just an issue for states along the U.S.-Mexico border.
So this is just a launching point. Obviously, the cartels are not going to tell us where the drugs are going and the human trafficking, where that's going. That's going all over the country. And we know that these kids and these families are being sent everywhere, and they may be sent there with COVID or some other transmittable disease, and every state is going to start having to deal with these problems.
Although paid for, the U.S.-Mexico border wall remains unfinished. USA Radio News.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman. Full of movie advice today, ladies and gentlemen. You got to dig it, huh? Sadly, the Bill and Melinda Gates family, I guess, divorcing. And I mentioned the movie A Song for the Season. It's a romantic movie, a Christmas movie. And then I also mentioned another movie. The movie, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm talking about is called Fireproof. 2008, to save his marriage, a firefighter uses a 40-day experiment known as the Love Dare to save his marriage. And so I would kind of encourage Bill and Melinda Gates to watch Fireproof. And, you know, you got to remember the reason you fell in love in the first place. You know what? Life gets hard. And sometimes it's the person. Sometimes it's circumstances. Sometimes it's bad health or you know, you just get off on the wrong trajectory or whatever else. But I think Fireproof is a very brilliant way to kind of highlight what it takes to come back. It takes a little bit of humility, takes a little bit of prayer, takes advice from loved ones and good people around you to encourage you to do what's right, to keep your commitments, to work on it. And you know what? You can get a new view. And so I don't mean to criticize Bill and Melinda. I do mean before the divorce is final or whatever else, though. And I know, you know, maybe they're listening, maybe they're not, maybe. But hey, there's hope there. And unless there's serious abuse or something like that, I really am telling you that it's much better It's much better to work on your relationships, not thinking the grass is greener, but putting in the hard work that it takes. You know, it's like exercising a muscle or, you know, anything else. You've got to put in the time. And when you do, wonderful things happen. Do you have any other advice on this one, Kurt?
Well, you know, I mean, you've got a lot of experience being married. We're working on our 40th year.
You've got more than I've got, but we both have quite a bit, you know?
Just a little bit. You know, I was thinking about a couple of signs or, you know, I don't know if you call them signs that they put up around here, but little it's not like a knick-knack, but it's decorations around the house here where we live. And one of them says, all because two people fell in love. And I was always thinking that they should put like a little sub thing that says something like, and worked hard every day to keep that love alive, you know, because that to me is, you know, what it takes. And I'm sure I don't know everything about the Bill and Melinda Gates thing, but when there's $146 billion at stake, you know, the sad thing is, you know, it reminds you of that Bezos, you know, breakup, I guess you'd call it that, a little while back. You know, a similar amount of money, and you just, you know, you're going to get focused on the wrong things, I think, and the most valuable thing that you've got should be the relationship with the one you've chosen to be together forever. And so if you work hard at that, and, you know, one other sign we got, I was going to get to that. I know I probably went off on the, you know, lost the track there. But the other one is, it really is a wonderful life. And
hold
that,
on, we didn't, hold on know, a minute. We didn't lose track at all, Kurt.
Well, I know, but
we're
mean,
on
I
track,
went,
buddy.
I went a little ways off there. But it really is a wonderful life, you know, because I've always enjoyed the movie Wonderful Life. My wife enjoys it a little less because he gets upset because Mr. Potter doesn't really get his just desserts, if you will, you know. To me,
they're left to heaven. He gets them. To make no mistake, right, my friend.
That's exactly right. To me, the cool thing is if you look for the good, like they do in the movie A Wonderful Life, you know, even though it's an old drafty old house, you know, it's nice, and his wife's there and the kids are there, and you know, I mean, sure they don't
it's called
have
It's a Wonderful Life though, right?
Yeah, or, yeah, I think that's right. But
it's a 1946 American
or the yeah, good. It's a great one. The sign the kids gave us says it really is a wonderful life. So it kind of takes off on that movie theme, you know. And even though we don't have $146 billion that we're trying to, you know, deal with, we got $146, you know. And still, I think you could find somebody with 146 pennies that might be happier than Bill and Melinda Gates. So that does show you that money doesn't buy happiness, right, Sam?
Yeah, you know what Kurt's favorite part of It's a Wonderful Life is?
What, Sam?
Mary and George, that's his name, right?
Right.
Mary and George are out there, and he's like, they're looking at that old house before they, you know, buy it or whatever, before they're married or whatever, and he says, I want to rope the moon for you, Mary. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kurt likes pretty that good. Part. George lassos moon. Yeah, that's right. Mary even makes a little picture up of it, you know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Love story is what we're all about, you know. Whether it's
one of my favorite parts
guy
of...
that goes and fixes his wife's hair, you know, right, Sam?
Yeah.
Or any of these, you know.
One of my favorite parts about It's a Wonderful Life is where the good guys reject the money changers and the people that are just out for like naked capitalism and whatever. And, you know, communities brought together and a family is brought back together. And, you know, you think about every one of our lives, Kurt, and if we weren't here, things would be drastically different. Clarence shows that in riveting detail in the movie. And, you know, I really like, you know, that kind of a idea about, you know, who we are and what we contribute, and that God is the only one, the inference in the movie, in my view. And again, I know it's subject to interpretation or whatever, but for me, the movie's about, you know, God sees it all and we don't. And sometimes we get short-sighted, and this happens a lot in marriage, is why I'm spending time on this, where you get short-sighted and kind of think, you know what, it's all a waste. It's all bogus. I've wasted 27 years of my life, if you're Bill or Melinda or whatever. And you know what, and you think short-sighted like George did, and then you get brought back to kind of a greater, bigger picture. And of course, only God really sees the big picture, but he can give us a glimpse. He can give us a glimpse of that from time to time. And sometimes he might use an angel to do it. This is great narrative for the story. But the Lord gives us glimpses of that if we're willing to kind of see, have eyes to see and ears to hear a little bit. And I think that, you know, that really matters. And so I think that the big picture really matters. It's a Wonderful Life highlights the big picture. I think Song of the Season highlights the big picture about what's important. So headline says, Sam starts promoting movies. Are you kidding me? And then I, in the show notes, put the two movies. And then Kurt likes It's a Wonderful Life in the show notes as well. So there's a lot to love there. I hear that Donald Trump is still working on his media campaign, Kurt. And he was on with Dan Bongino for an interview, wide-ranging interview, talking about how Biden and crew were going to raise taxes, talking about the election fraud that took place, talking about his possible run in 2024. They covered a lot of things. So in my mind, that's pretty impressive there. But Ben Swan and Del Bigtree, Kurt, have an update on their media efforts as well that I thought was worth kind of talking about. It's from Ben Swan, Truth in Media is where it comes from. And it basically says, Hi, everyone. We have had an incredible last few months since the closing of our refunder. The crowd fund is what it's called. I want to give you an idea of what's currently happening with the project, says Ben. In light of what's happened over the past few months with the deplatforming of platforms such as Parler, we have now put our efforts towards building a censorship-proof platform that cannot be removed by big tech collusion no matter what. Now, I'm pretty skeptical about that, but I'm open to guys like Ben because they're pretty resourceful. So I hope they're correct on this. My IT savvy says, it's going to be really hard to do, but you know what? Let's give them a chance. They say we've been working with experts to not only design that system, but to recruit some of the most censored content creators as well. Presently, we are looking at a launch date of September for this fully secured site. We'll continue to update you on our progress as we move closer to the closer to the official launch of the platform. It will be a game-changing event. Thank you so much for all that you do, Ben Swan and crew. There it is, Kurt. Just thought I'd update on that because we've mentioned the last couple times you've been on the radio with us about the efforts of Ben Swan and Del Bigtree, about the efforts of Dennis Prager, about the efforts of Donald Trump, the efforts of Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, and more. So we'll talk about it. Sam and Kurt in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that it could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I just wanted to give you an update on what Ben Swan and those guys were doing. Again, we're hearing updates from Donald Trump, Mike Lindell, Del Bigtree, and Ben Swan. And, you know, Kurt and I have been working on media for quite some time, too. We all have different approaches, Kurt, and I think there's a place for all of us in this. And it's critical that we work on it together. Anyway, Ben says, thanks for your support as we continue to break ground. Move forward and break new ground. Anyway, pretty nifty, Kurt. Any comments on that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I guess my main thought is, like you've always taught us, Sam, you know, he who owns the media makes the rules. I remember thinking years ago when we were listening to some, I can't remember exactly the signal, but I mean, we were like, man, that's 50,000 watts and all the guy has is like, you know, some tunes on it, no commercials, nothing. You know, we thought, man, it's just like his jukebox that he owns. And we thought, man, we could really use that for better purposes. But when people own it, you know, they can put what they want on it. And that's how that works, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, just to go along with your Mike Lindell thing, a little update on him. Looks like the Washington Examiner headline says, Mike Lindell forecasts election fraud game changer in Michigan. Daniel Chaitin, as the deputy news editor there, he says, he predicted a game-changer development will soon emerge in Michigan. That's what MyPillow CEO says, where a lawsuit focused on the 2020 election is still playing out. The controversial mustachioed, that's kind of a cool name if you could spell it, I mean a word, a businessman whose election fraud documentary was panned by critics. I thought it was great, by the way. I didn't pan it. As being rife with
falsehoods. Well, it depends on what reference point you come from, Kurt.
That's exactly right.
If you love Joe being in office, and you love vote fraud, and you love shutting down Trump because you hate him, then, yeah, you know, that's your narrative, buddy, and that, you know, that's how it is. And so you don't really like Mike Lindell's fact-finding mission, do you?
Good point. He said there will be a filing in court that will be very embarrassing for Newsmax, a conservative news outlet that apologized last week to an employee at Dominion Voting Systems for vote manipulation claims. He said, this is what Lindell told former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon on his War Room podcast. He says, I'll have really big news once this day is completed. It's a game changer, and it's really going to make Newsmax look bad. I guess he appears to be referring...
Let me be very clear. Not look bad for their original reporting. Look bad for their wimpy meltdown back away, is what he's saying, right?
Well, and it goes to this whole point of what usually happens with the media when somebody gets threatened with these massive lawsuits. You know, their attorneys, if there's, you know, anybody really there on the board, they say, man, we better step away from this. And yet Mike Lindell's got a whole lot to lose, and you don't see him shrinking back. He just going at him with all guns blazing, looks like. I guess he appeared, they say, the Washington Examiner piece says, Lindell appeared to be referring to a lawsuit in Antrim County, Michigan, that has expanded from a legal challenge over a local marijuana retailer proposal to claims that Dominion machines and software might have intentionally manipulated the election results up and down the ballot. A judge recently allowed there to be testimony from people on an expert witness list provided by the plaintiffs to rebut a report published by Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson's office affirming that human error, not Dominion voting systems machine software, led to early tabulation errors in Antrim County. Among those on the expert witness list is Cyber Ninjas, a member of the same guys that are working down in Arizona, a Florida-based firm hired by the Republican-led Senate in Arizona to conduct this audit that they're doing down there right now. So a little bit more of that going on. You know, you're not going to hear about it in most places because, well, the big media gets threatened by Dominion with lawsuits, right, Sam?
Yeah, and I think Mike Lindell standing up, in my opinion, on this one, taller than anybody so far. Time will tell how it unfolds. You know, I think if we're going to have truth, then Mike Lindell will be vindicated. Newsmax will be, you know, praised for their early reporting, but condemned for their meltdown back away. But I also think that for Newsmax and others, you know, these Dominion people have been going on the sue happy, you know, trailblazing effort. But I think someone needs to sue them back. You know what? And as this information starts to come out more and more and more and more, I think there'll be evidence for lawsuits. And let me give you a couple of examples too. Highlight the point, Kurt. You can email me that headline so I can get that one and add it to the notes too, because that's a great one for people to kind of share and read and promote and all that kind of stuff. But all right, what I'm about to say is that, you know, you look at the scenario where they claim that, hey, you know, had a bunch of Trump supporters in their insurrectionist agenda January the 6th beat a man, a cop, to death with a fire extinguisher. That was news on all the mainstream. It was also used in the impeachment trial against Donald Trump. Turned out to be flat-out false, bogus news.
Mm-hmm.
The coroner came back and said, look, the guy died of natural causes. There was no beating that took place. There was no marks on his body. There's no evidence of that whatsoever, period, end of story. And the liberals have had to eat a little bit of crow on that, but of course, since they control the news rags, then they, you know, get to kind of spin it like, oh, we missed that, but no harm, no foul on that one. No, wait a minute. You peddled it in the news. You furthermore use that then as the insurrection rhetoric, the dishonest lies, ratcheted it up around Trump and his supporters. And then you used it in a literal impeachment proceeding, equivalent to a jury trial. Okay? Even maybe more important, you could say, than a jury trial. And I look at that and I go, okay, wait a minute. Now that was also used there. So where's the accountability? And I think as we find out more and more and more vote fraud, Arizona started to prove more of it, and we're seeing this. And I've always said, look, I agree the vote fraud's real. Whether they'll let us get to the bottom of it or not, I don't know. But I will say this. The more people that work on it, and the more we do not give up, that we have backbone to stand, like Mike Lindell and others are doing, these cyber ninja guys and stuff like that, the greater chance I believe that we will be successful, and the greater hope I have that we can create accountability here. It's not that I don't believe that the truth is there. I know it's there. And it's not that I don't believe that we can't mandate accountability. It's that I didn't know if enough people would stand up. And Kurtz had a lot of faith in that, and I commend him for that. But I say this, if Mike Lindell and if others keep on this beating on the turret, the truth does come out, and we will, in my opinion, have success. So that's really worthy of kind of highlighting.
I agree. And just a little bit more on the Washington Examiner piece that we're talking about. Right down at the end, it has this thing where they say, well, this is what's all happened. And, you know, and then the last little sentence says, still, Lindell has insisted Trump will be back in office by August. So, Mike Lindell, man, former crack addict turned CEO, and, man, he's going up. I mean, if you're ever seeing a David against Goliath, that's it, man.
We want to be careful, too. It's important to highlight that he came from rags to riches, if you will, that he was, But I don't want to focus on that too much because I don't want that to follow him forever. He's a changed man, and at some point we want to drop.
But it's amazing to see what people can do. And in a related story, in my opinion, the Examiner's got this as well. It says Dominion accuses Powell of lying for financial gain and fame. I guess they accused her of that. This is after Sidney Powell has requested to dismiss the $1.3 billion lawsuit the Dominion has filed against her in January. So all I can say is if you've watched Sidney Powell for years, you know she doesn't really do much stuff for big bucks. You know, that's what they're saying, you know.
Well, let's say this, though. The story of Sidney Powell is very nuanced. The mainstream press completely dishonest in their reporting, manipulating the facts on Sidney Powell. For example, the reason that she wants the case dismissed is because the claims that she's making have legal merit. But if you take them out of legal merit context and only promote highlights that she's asking for it to be dismissed or whatever, and that she's making this that claim, you lose the legal nuance of what's really happening. And that's a critical component of this to understand, in my opinion. So Sidney's saying, hey, you can debate whether you think these claims that I've made are right or wrong. But I made them legitimately and legally made these claims. And so, you know what? Whether they're factual or not in your view, I want them dismissed. Because I have every right as an attorney with the evidence that I have, the affidavits to this and this, to make these kind of claims. And even if you guys rule that they're not factual, that doesn't mean that they were frivolous. So, you know, you got to get into legalese to understand that a little bit. That, hey, can an attorney? Otherwise, you create a chilling effect across the country about you might as well not file any lawsuit if they won't let an attorney lay down facts, even if they get ruled against. There's still facts in the case. There's still true affidavits. There's still stellar research. It's still all okay. And if you jettison that standard, this is what, in my opinion, Sidney Powell is fighting for right now. If you jettison that standard, we don't have a prayer in any court in the land ever. All you got to do is say our facts aren't facts and we're done. And she's saying, no, I'm a legitimate attorney. I've submitted legitimate legal information. And you know what? They claim that I'm just attacking for fame and gain. Not true. These are legal facts I've submitted. That's what's at the core of this case, Kurt. But if you believe the mainstream manipulators, they're like, oh, Sidney's backing down now because she got her clock cleaned and it's not true. And she had a bunch of facts that were bogus because she's trying to make a bunch of money and get famous. That's not the discussion at all if you dig into the legalities and the details of this case. And it's important to highlight that difference and that truth, in my opinion, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Sam. Yep.
All right. I was gonna mention that Kurt Cosby's working on buying some radio stations and stuff like that. I think what we'll have to do is save that till Thursday, though, Kurt.
Very good.
If you'll be on with us Thursday, we can talk more about that, too.
We're working on that. And, if you really want to know, ladies and gentlemen, there's ways you can help from, you know, being the widow's mite kind of person where you just do what you can to... You know, our buddy who says, hey, man, I got $1.5 million. I'm ready to buy some radio stations. You know, I mean, we're up for it. Whatever we can do to help, you know, we're there, right, Sam?
Absolutely. The question left when I say Kurt is working on trying to purchase some radio stations, the question left is, can you help? Right?
Amen to that.
And isn't that the... next question, we're looking for angel investors.
Lots of ways to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Angel investors, as Chuck Carter used to call them, to good Americans that could just tip in a little bit. A lot of, you know, heavy work to be made light by lots of hands, right?
Amen.
So the question is, can you help? And the answer is, I think you can if you make it a priority, huh? All right, hour one in the can, two coming up. I've got Patrick Simmons with me. Thanks, Kurt. We'll talk to you Thursday, sir.
Thank you.
God save the Republic.